The word today is tree. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. We get nourishment from the nuts, fruits, and juices that come from trees. But what if a tree could give life itself? Here to discuss the tree of life mentioned in the book of Genesis is Bible scholar Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Tree.
Today we're going to start out with a little bit of a trivia question. A little question to test your Bible knowledge. What is the first symbol that appears at the beginning of the Bible and also reappears at the end of the Bible? In fact, this symbol starts in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, and it also shows up in the last chapter, chapter 22, in the book of Revelation. Well, I'll give you the answer to the symbol. It's the tree. Specifically, it's the tree of life that is mentioned. Trees are some of the most interesting objects in the Bible because they are used by God in such a unique way. We're going to spend a little time talking about how God uses trees in the Bible. By the way, I look at trees and plants and animals as living decorations, as things that are put here on this earth to bless and enhance our lives, but they are quite different from humans. Humans are the crowning achievement of God's handiwork, of God's creative power, and we are made in the image of God. Plants and animals do not have that. And therefore, they are dispensable. They will not be in the plan of salvation, saved to go on into the next world, into heaven. God might populate heaven with new plants and animals, creatures of this nature. We're not told all the details of that. But humans are the focal point, and that is how God uses trees in the scripture in order to save humans. Let's think first about this tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden. Very interesting thing, this tree of life. It seems as though God had placed it there to literally directly keep death at bay. Without it, it seems as though humans would have continued aging and dying. You see, humans are not made eternal. We are not in our own nature divine and self-sustaining. We are creatures that are made by God. And if we're going to continue to have life on indefinitely, He's going to have to do something in order to provide it for us. And it seems as though the way He chose to do that was through this fruit coming from this tree of life. What the specifics of that are, what the technique that God used to keep us from aging and dying, we do not know. After all these years of science and looking into aging and death, we still can't prevent our own death. Only God can do that. So He did this through this tree. And you'll notice also in Genesis that it states that there was unlimited access. There were no prohibitions put on how much Adam and Eve could eat from the tree of life. It seemed as though they could help themselves anytime they wanted. And so God was delighted to provide them with this gift of extended life. Well, what happens is that sin enters the scene, and God then has to remove Adam and Eve from that source of life. So it seemed to be a very direct thing, much in the same way that Jesus one time took earth, took spit and soil and mixed them together and made mud in order to clean a man's eyes, in order to provide healing for him and restoration of his sight. In the same way, there was something very direct about God's using this fruit from the tree of life. Well, sin came and wrecked it. And now all of a sudden we no longer had access to this. And properly so. God is not going to provide an eternal environment for sin. He's not going to let that go on and on. And so as a result, He had to provide a means for us to be saved because of our sin. This is the love of God. This is the joy of God. Why did God want to have humans live indefinitely anyway? Why would he have provided the tree of life? Because he loves us. We're the crowning achievement. We are the best of his handiwork. And so he wants us to be with him. Well, when we sin, it grieves him, and it has to be dealt with. It has to be paid for. In order to do that, God chose to use yet another tree. I'm going to call that tree the tree of death. Now, there is no phrase in the Bible that says there's a tree of death. There's no specific tree that was labeled the tree of death, and it's not a particular type of tree. What I'm referring to is the cross of Jesus, made out of wood, made from a tree. It is the tree of death. Whereas there was a tree of life that sustained and provided indefinite life for mankind, there also needed to be a source of forgiveness once we had fallen into sin. And that came through the tree of death. I'd like to read for you a verse from the book of Galatians. Paul the Apostle is talking, and he is discussing with the people the fact that anyone who sins is under a curse. Because when you break the rules, you're going to be punished. And that's what Paul is talking about, is that divine punishment from God upon sinners. And we all fall into the category of being sinners, and therefore we have the curse of the law, the punishment of the law, and that results in our being condemned and our dying. Well, Paul, in his speaking about this, talks about God's provision of what I'll call that tree of death, the fact that Jesus died on the cross. And here's what he says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, "The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" What Paul's talking about there is the fact that Jesus took our punishment and our guilt upon himself by going to that cross and by suffering the punishment for sins that we deserved. He quotes from the Old Testament. The quote that he has is actually from Deuteronomy chapter 21. And there in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, amidst all these laws and rules that God had given, was a command that if someone was guilty of a capital offense, if they had committed a crime that was so horrible that they deserved to be put to death, that then their body should be displayed on a tree. It should be hung on a tree, it said. And then there was even a stipulation that they should be taken down before nightfall because the land was not to be defiled. What this was talking about was that if someone had committed such an atrocity, such a sin, they deserved to die. And the reminder of the punishment of sin, the curse of sin, is death. And breaking God's law results in condemnation, in punishment. And the person was to be impaled or put on a pole, on a tree, in order to be a reminder to the rest of the community not to be lawbreakers, not to defiantly disobey God. Well, in the New Testament, the apostles saw that punishment for sin, that punishment for wrongdoing of people that had broken the rules by the time that Rome was in power. When Christ was on earth, it was the cross, and people were crucified as punishment. And it was a sign that they were punished by God and that society had rejected them. And so Jesus, wrongly put on that cross, who was condemned to die, now became a symbol of God's taking our sin. And this is what Paul is talking about. For the Christians, they saw that Jesus took our punishment. Jesus took our curse from being lawbreakers. And this suddenly now gave new significance to this tree, to this cross. Whereas before it was seen as something horrible, something loathsome, now it became something beautiful. And it was completely changed as a symbol for the Christians. The equivalent, the only thing I can think of that might be the same impact for us, is to think of the electric chair. The electric chair is a device that brings all kinds of bad feelings and thoughts of pain and disgust, because it's the ultimate expression of anger of a society doing away with somebody who has been a lawbreaker. And imagine yourself wearing a little chain or a necklace with a electric chair attached to it. People would think, oh, that's wretched, that's miserable, what a disgusting thing to have a symbol of. And yet that's what the cross was. And it really starts to make you think when Jesus says, whoever would follow me must pick up his cross and carry it. In other words, the world may hate you. People may deride you. They won't want you. They'll reject you. They will even curse you. But Jesus did this for us, and he suffered that rejection, and he took the punishment of our sins. This was the highest expression of God's love, so that we might be forgiven and might be saved. Now let me take you back quickly to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. And there in Revelation chapter 22, there is once again mention of this tree of life. It says that from the throne of God and from the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city, there flowed a river of life, and on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. God's intent is to take us right back to Eden. He doesn't want us to be lost forever. He doesn't want our sins to condemn us and do us in and destroy us. He wants us to return to Eden, to get back to that heavenly state again. And all those who put their faith in Jesus and the fact that he suffered on the tree of death will once again be able to participate and partake from the tree of life, where God will provide for us and will give us the joys and the desires of our hearts, where we will be able to live with him in eternity and always, always have access to the life God wants for us.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.